they're still doing the same things they used to do hundreds of years ago, but they're doing it in a less direct way, so it's harder to point out or call out. Did you clean your ears?
No, but I really want to do that. You know those videos?
Oh, the neti pot?
Huh?
Oh, wait, that's for your nose.
Yeah. You know the videos where the... Oh, my God, what are they called?
Huh?
What are your doctors called again? Audiologist.
Audiologist, yes.
I was you didn't to say know.
Orologist.
I know. have you seen those videos where they clean out your ears with water?
I've seen the ones where they like they take that tiny camera and they stick it in their ear.
Yeah.
And they like start like pinging it. Oh, so when they get a nice
I know.
Big chunk out of their ear.
Or the little claw thing.
Yeah. And they, like, pull it's it literally the most satisfying
I know.
Sound.
I love it. I actually love it.
Yeah,
they,
one
like,
audience member was being disgusted by what we're saying right now. But it's so satisfying.
I know.
Because and almost you yourself can hear your, or not hear, but
you can like feel.
You can feel the clarity.
Yeah. Low key, and always the color. The comments are always like, "Bro can probably hear colors now."
Yeah, because it's like, how are you even able to hear at up to this point?
Well, I'm sure like they probably have noticed like some blockage in their in their hearing.
That's crazy, like to the level, to the degree that I've seen on TikTok.
Yeah,
like there's, and then there's the ones, oh no, I can't mention this one.
Which one?
The one where they find bugs in their ear.
Huh?
Yeah,
like earwigs.
Well, spiders.
Stop.
Yeah,
stop.
You never seen those ones?
I don't want to see it. Spiders?
Yeah, they have spiders and like people that burrow in people's ears.
People?
Yeah,
bugs.
What?
Bugs that burrow in people's ears.
Yeah, but spiders too.
Don't lie.
Wallahi, I've seen videos of this.
Were they alive?
Of course they were. Yeah.
In the wax?
Yeah.
Like inside here?
In their ears.
Yeah, I'm wearing hijab to sleep. I don't care. I'm not doing that. That's scary.
Just earmuffs from now on.
Really?
Yeah. Welcome back, guys, to The Cousin.
No, I'm creeped out.
Come on. Welcome back, guys, to The Cousin.
Connection. Podcast. That's gross.
I'm surprised this is a new revelation to you. Like,
no, I know, like, people always say, like, if you wake up with a dry throat, it's probably because you swallowed some spiders.
That actually...
Is that what people melt tape their mouth?
Was it you that we were talking about myths? Oh, this was at work. Yeah, at work. They have this thing every month where they do, like, a...
Mythbusters?
No, what's that thing? Kahoot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have that, like, as, like, a lunchtime thing.
Yeah.
And the recent one was myths.
Okay.
And like, I think it was 15 or 16 questions.
Mm-hmm.
I got like 13 of them wrong. I believe every, almost half the myths or their myths that I didn't believe in, the myths that I did believe in. And I was wrong on all of them.
But I feel like you know so much about so many random topics.
I thought that too. Like the whole spider thing.
Yeah.
I thought the myth or the story where like you eat seven to eight spiders in your whole lifetime or whatever was real. That's apparently fake because like your breathing would like push them out and they wouldn't be attracted to it or something like that. So at least you don't have to worry. Guys, if you ever had that fear, just know that it was never actually true. Yeah, so
I first
introduced you to something that's actually scary and has happened. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I quelled the little fear that other people might have had about spiders.
Now I have a new fear.
Well, you know, you gotta give and take.
I'm literally gonna wear a hijab to sleep. You think I'm joking?
No, you're not.
I will send you a selfie tonight. Me in my hijab. Or I'm gonna wear like, I don't know, something.
You're like halal gang 24/7. Done. No, covering that aura 24/7, bro.
Okay. Now I'm gonna further perpetuate all of the stereotypes. Do you sleep in that? Yeah, actually I do.
Welcome back, guys. You know, it's been another week. We've seen all the support in the comments there of everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Wishing us, you know, not wishing us.
Welcoming us back
mm-hmm. to the pod. And, you know, last week we were just like brushing off the cobwebs. Now we should be hopefully a little bit more warmed up.
Yeah, I felt like I was a little awkward last week.
Yeah, she was way off last week, guys.
Really? Like, you
she
could
was,
tell?
I was like, it's like talking to Wall last week. I'm joking.
Delete that episode now. I'm believed you.
I'm being sarcastic.
I believe that.
You actually believe me?
Yeah, then I started to get self-conscious. Mm-mm. Yeah, it's been a minute. But, you know, we were just reading the comments a little bit here and there. We're going to obviously do what we normally do.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to respond to your comments again at the end of the episode. So for those who are listening right now at the beginning, whether you're on the audio or video, you can always go to our comments after you've listened, or the people who are already on YouTube, while you're listening, you can leave a comment on any of the topics we speak about, because I feel like especially today is going to be a little bit more controversial because it's topics that we aren't as well versed in, but I feel like are important to discuss here, and give our unique takes on them. But
yeah,
if you have anything to say, just make sure to leave it in the comments. And also subscribe to the channel. I'm gonna put that here finally for the first time in a long time. Subscribe to the channel,
guys. We're so close to 8,000.
Yeah, and inshallah, like that's 8,000. That's a little bit closer to the 10K. We're going for it. I'm just saying.
We're still. Listen, the year has not ended yet.
But yeah, so we're gonna be jumping into those topics. But like I said, subscribe to the channel, follow us on all platforms, and yeah.
Before we jump in though,
what?
Make sure you stay to the end of this episode.
Oh, yeah.
We have a surprise.
Yeah, the thing we've been teasing for like how long?
Yeah, I don't know how long it's been, but like we're finally going to announce it and we're so excited. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, stick to the end.
Don't fast forward, okay? This episode's going to be beefy. There's going to be substance.
Yeah, I'm not even going to put a timestamp on that one.
Yeah, so you guys have to wait.
Exactly. They might even see it in the description, honestly. They might see it. Oh, shoot. Now I told them about that. They're going to
Should I put it in the description? I'm going to have to.
Yeah, you're going to have to. Whatever. People were actually listening at this point. They'll look at it. But yeah, let me jump into the topics.
Okay, let's.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W, with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
Here it is. Mm-hmm.
So first one is a little bit more, it's actually not super lighthearted, but it kind of turned into a lighthearted story.
I already know which one you're going to bring up.
Which is the United Healthcare CEO situation, mm-hmm. where basically this is like a level from Hitman. This guy pulled up and straight up unalived the CEO of United Healthcare. What is the name again? It was Brian Thompson. Straight up, this guy came up, was waiting for him multiple hours. Like they have like all the CCTV footage of him. This was all fully planned out, right? And yeah, he unalived him in the front of a hotel.
In broad day. Well, actually, it was in the morning, right?
Yeah, it was like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Crazy.
And he casually like walks away, gets onto one of those e-scooters or those like rental scooters, and just dips from the area.
You couldn't finish
your. Oh, answer. I was gonna say, and then like the New York police have been on a search since then, like just looking for this guy, and it turned into like a whole hero situation.
I mean, let me just preface this by saying we obviously don't condone.
Oh yeah.
Violence, okay, and we're not trying to make light of the fact that someone lost their life. But mm-hmm. that being said, I just feel like. First of all, you know how I feel about American news. Mm-hmm. It always feels like a joke. It always feels like they're doing something to gain as many viewers as possible. Mm-hmm. It's a network, is it not? Anyways, mm-hmm. that's besides the point. The point is the way that the news has unfolded, mm-hmm. the way that the NYPD has been addressing this too, like literally complimenting the hitman's technique.
This guy was like straight up had a silencer. This guy knew what he was doing. Like, they're bigging up this guy so much.
But you know what was kind of weird to me? You know, now that they've released what his face looks like because he was allegedly flirting with the Airbnb,
hostess?
Yeah, the person that was, like, checking him in. Mm-hmm. Or the hotel, sorry, not Airbnb.
Oh, okay.
Whatever he was staying at. The picture, mm-hmm. he's wearing, like, one type of outfit, but then in the surveillance footage where he actually is, seen, you know, mm-hmm. shooting the guy, they're two different outfits.
Like they said, this guy was all basically like a professional. He knew what he was doing.
So he intentionally...
He everything he did was intentional, right? Like just mm-hmm. the waiting, the scouting. Like he knew exactly, like who knows where a CEO is going to be specifically at this time, on this day, where he is, all those things. Like this guy had to do some research and actually had to like... put in the work to find out where this guy is and find out when he's going to be the most vulnerable, right?
No, I know. But I mean, like, is that actually him? the guy where he's smiling, that one photo of him.
That, yeah, I believe that's who they said he was. Or that's
who they believe
it is. Yeah.
It's just funny. And then like the other funny part is the general population, the Americans' response to it. And it's like you see all these memes where the NYPD is like, oh, we're offering, like, first of all, did you see what they're offering for whoever finds him?
No.
$10,000.
No way.
Yeah. So they don't really.
Even the NYPD doesn't want to really find him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and there's actually, you know, when you think about the reason why everyone's like not caring as much is actually because United Healthcare, that specific insurance company, has the highest, is it rejection, denial rate?
Yeah, denial rate. I think it was like 37% or
something.
I
saw
that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because actually they reported that they changed their policies like immediately after this happened.
Mm-hmm. Another company actually changed their policy too.
Really?
Yeah, it was. I actually have that written down
That's
well.
That's funny. Not funny, but like.
It was the Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. Yeah, that's the insurance company. They halted their anesthesia time limit. So I think literally like the same day or was it 24 hours after? Or I don't know if it was the same. I can't remember the timeline exactly, but they came out with a policy change where essentially they said that if you're the amount of time that this their insured person is under anesthesia, like past a certain limit, they won't cover the rest of that time.
Really?
Yeah. So like literally if someone's like in the middle of a surgery and it goes on a little bit longer and they have to continue giving them anesthesia, halfway through that surgery, they're not paying for half that surgery, and then they're paying for the rest of it. Some people made that joke where they're like, wait, so like in the middle of a surgery, if the guy runs out of money to pay for the anesthesia, do you just wake him up in the middle of it?
That's so crazy.
Of course, I don't think it's going to go that far, but that's gotten people riled up enough to where I think it was 24 hours after this unaliving of the CEO, they came out saying, hey guys, so because there was so much misinformation about our policy change, we just chose to randomly at this 24 hours after this event to roll back this change. So essentially they tried to play it off saying like, oh, there's a lot of misinformation about our policy, so we just didn't want to put it out there. But you can tell like because of the timing of it, it's somewhat related to what happened, or at least you can kind of deduce that it's related to what happened with the other CEO of another healthcare company. Right? So they're all kind of on edge at this point.
You know what this is kind of like? Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's foreshadowing, but it kind of, I see some similarities, or I hope it doesn't inspire like a purge situation.
A purge situation?
Yeah, have you seen the movie Purge?
I never watched it, but I know this. I know like the premise of it. Yeah.
Where like there's that one day where all crimes are off, on limits, are allowed.
Everything is legalized.
Yes, you can go seek your revenge against people. And I feel like the way that people are reacting and the police are reacting to this person who unalived the CEO, like it's a joke, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's almost like...
Well, I don't know if it would go that far. I think this is just like the manifestation of that saying, eat the rich. Mm-hmm. Like finally people are taking that literally. Well, not literally, but are putting action behind those words. And... Yeah. If these people are taking advantage, because after this happened, there are so many stories of people on TikTok specifically that I've seen where they're talking about how, I think there was one specific story where a guy said that his mom had late stage diabetes. I don't know, like diabetes, but it was like to the point where she needed like some pumps and syringes and all of this gear to be able to, you know, manage
get
it,
treatment.
But at some point, they're like, yeah, you know, we're just going to cut it off. We're not going to be paying for any of this stuff anymore. And they didn't have the money for it. So she stopped getting the treatment. And eventually she succumbed to the disease and she passed away. And literally the morning after she passed away, he got a box of the gear on his front door.
Who sent it?
Huh? The insurance company. They're like, yes, because of a recent change in... Your this insured person's status, we have granted her the, what do you call it again, the materials to be able to manage this. And he's like, guess what the change of status was? Death.
That's insane.
So this is like what they're dealing with. So it's not like out of the realm to think that someone might have a similar situation to this and might actually want to do something about it.
Yeah, he literally took matters into his own hands.
Yeah. So, And that's the person who didn't do anything. It's like, I don't even want to think about what this person who actually did end up going through with this might have gone through. Mm. Or maybe he was just a vigilante. You never know what his motives really are. And he was kind of doing this for the people, right? And that's what people have been, maybe less of a purge, but I'm thinking that people might be, there might be more copycats from this. No?
Yeah, no, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause copycats are, you know, when you see someone does this, and I think the other side, I don't know if we spoke about this, but like he essentially became a hero mm-hmm. for the city because, you know, billionaires have been taking advantage of the people. They're giving each other raises while they're also, like you mentioned, having these high denial rates.
Yeah.
And all that money that they're saving from those denial rates is going into these CEOs' pockets. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, consequences to your actions, essentially. I'm sure we don't agree with murder.
Everybody who's working in big corp is now sweating like,
yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll see what happens.
If that is the consequence of this, sure, I don't agree with the action that he might have taken. Like, we never agree with murder.
Yeah.
But if the consequence to it was this person, these companies taking, what happened?
I think my head's too big for these headphones. It really hurts.
Well, what I was saying was, if the consequence or the reaction to this thing that took place is these companies being more wary about the things that they end up doing and how they end up taking advantage of their consumers or the people that they're supposed to be taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, if it worked, it worked. Hopefully it does not escalate to something a little bit more
violent and widespread.
Exactly. Yeah. Because there still does need to be some law and order.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, best believe Law and Order and the other show that we used to like.
What's the other show?
The other one.
CSI?
No, the other one.
What's the other one? With the judges? Judge Judy?
No.
Law and Order is the only one that I know. Hanan, do you know any other?
Criminal Minds.
Yeah, that's like CSI.
Not really.
Is it not?
But I'm saying like they're definitely going to reenact this or like do.
Oh, yeah. Do they still make those shows?
I don't know.
I feel like they do. Yeah, they do. We got our fact checker right here. But yeah, so that was a crazy
Made
situation.
News this week,
yeah. People are relating him to like Spider-Man 2.
But I also just feel like, mm-hmm. and I sound like such a hater of the United States, mm-hmm. but I'm not. I've noticed that whatever happens, mm-hmm. no matter how serious it is, American news has a way of just like, or maybe it's not the news itself,
the
but
people,
it's like the
mean?
People have a way of just like making a meme out of literally everything.
Yeah.
Like people are under the comments of this guy saying like, is he single? I love a man that takes action. Like, I'm just like, guys, this is so crazy.
I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm like 80% sure that there are people in New York who know exactly where this guy is, know exactly who he is, where mm-hmm. he is, and are not.
No, he's not from New
it.
York.
Yeah, but I don't know if he's left New York yet.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They said they closed all the bridges or whatever.
And Greyhound. Yeah. That's how he got there from Atlanta.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So, I feel like people might be, you know, just being like, turning a blind eye. Being like, oh, you kind of look
100%.
Familiar.
Yeah.
Whatever. You're probably not.
You didn't. Like, I saw all these comments where people are like, the NYPD put a bounty? Like a reward.
Yeah, the $10,000 reward you mentioned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then in the comments, people are like, New Yorkers be like, I don't know who this man is. Yeah. I've never seen him a day in my life.
Because New Yorkers, even though he isn't a New Yorker himself, I feel like they do have, their culture is very unique to the rest of America, where they kind of have, it's like they all look out for each other in a way, at least in situations like this.
Yeah.
Sure, like in another situation, they might be at each other's throats.
Yeah.
But for something a little bit more universally accepted or universally
it's crazy. Universally accepted.
Yeah. Universally accepted by people are like, everyone kind of agrees that, you know, there's not really any loss here.
They'll just be like, okay.
Yeah. You know, I feel bad for his family, of course, you know.
You said
the ones who will be inheriting the billions of dollars that he has. But outside of that, it's still someone who's taking advantage and essentially was complicit in unaliving thousands of other people by not providing them the aid that they needed, like in the example I gave. So I'm just saying, okay. Are we bad people? No, because it's like, what? It's like, too evil, man. I'm just saying. The ones that are too evil.
We could sit here all day and discuss our morality if we really wanted to, but.
It shifts depending on who we're talking about. But yeah, so that was something that happened in the past week in America. And now we'll shift to a little bit more of geopolitics and something that might be a little bit more controversial. And I want to preface that the thing I'm about to bring up, which is related to Syria, just to give you a little heads up. My knowledge on this situation isn't as well versed as it should be, but there is some, I guess, opinions I do have on certain reactions that I feel like I can speak on a little bit more about. Okay, and maybe you have certain things that you want to speak about on it too.
I'm gonna echo Amir's sentiments.
There you go.
Also say that I do not have too much knowledge on it, but
yeah, but just to give some context. Yeah. Oh, sorry, were you about to say something?
I was gonna say my opinion is my opinion. If you don't like it, mute me.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll move forward from here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give a little bit of context on what happened. So essentially, literally, I think today. Yeah, was it?
Yesterday or today?
Yeah, we're recording this on what day is today?
December 8th. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're recording this on December 8th. And this morning came out that the Assad and his family has fled the country. Mm-hmm. And the rebels that were fighting against him have taken Damascus. And this was something that was kind of seen happening in the next, like, everyone kind of knew this was about to happen, like, because I believe they took a city called Homs, which has been described as, like, the door to Damascus. Mm. So they said that if Homs fell, then Damascus would 90% be next. Like, the probability would be that Damascus is next and that he would be out. So that happened. And, you know, like, you see your typical videos of them ransacking Assad's palace. Everybody's taking his Louis Vuitton shoes. They're taking his they're ripping down his paintings. They're taking his chairs, tables, desks, whatever can come off a wall and a floor, they'll take it, right? And we've seen the same thing happen in other places, like, I think, like Libya and other countries. So that's what's happening in the country. And, of course, a lot of Syrian people who are outside of Syria who actually were not able to go back. Specifically, there was a TikToker here, and I think even in Toronto or in Canada, I can't remember which city she's from, but there's a TikToker here. I can't remember her name specifically, but she was very happy about this because her family was not able to go back to Syria because of the situation, because they essentially came to Canada as refugees seeking asylum from the Assad government, because the Assad government was said to be very brutal, and they actually took a lot of political prisoners. And she was actually, the TikToker I'm speaking, I was referencing a video where a lot of these prisoners were freed, and it was a lot of women, and they talked about being tortured and other unspeakable things happening to them. Mm-hmm. So when I hear that, like, any government who's doing that to their own people, I don't believe is worthy of support, right? No matter what your opinion is on, like, the geopolitics at that moment, and I'll get into the geopolitics because, yeah, like, it doesn't matter who you're backed by,
right?
Like, what you do to your own people is how I'm going to judge you, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're doing this to your own people, then I'm less likely to endorse, even if you're geopolitical wise, like, you're supporting maybe another country that I want you to support, or like, I feel like you supporting them would be an advantage for them. Mm-hmm. I would still be critical of what you do in your own country. Exactly. And what he was doing in his own country was definitely not good for his people, and there are a lot of people within his country who didn't like him, to the point where, of course, like I mentioned, a lot of them had to leave. One thing I actually wanted to speak about in relation to that girl is she was actually getting a lot of hate for being happy for the rebels taking down Assad. Yes, because she was, of course, speaking about the prisoners being released and how she's happy that she can finally go home. A lot of the Syrian influences I've been seeing on TikTok and Instagram have been talking about how we can finally go home, because for a long time they could not go home because of the situation.
Right.
And there are people in the comments being like, how could you be happy for the Assad government going down? Like, they were one of the last fronts for helping, I believe, like, the Palestinian people, or like, they were opposing the U.S. government, mm-hmm, right? They're one of the last remaining countries in that region who are opposing the U.S. government. So, like, and you can, if you try and, like, you know, shift your opinion a little more, like, try and see it from their side a little bit more, I can kind of see what they're saying geopolitical wise, but still, that government had a choice to still, no matter what the geopolitics is, to still support their people and be a positive influence on their people instead of being money hungry and power hungry and trying to stifle any type of political movement or any type of opposing party that might come up to try and challenge them in some way. Because he was in power, I think, for like 50 or 60 years. It was essentially it was a dictatorship.
Wait, Bashar?
Yeah.
Bashar, whatever his name is?
Yeah, his family was in charge for like...
Oh, his whole family.
Yeah, his whole family.
Yeah, okay,
yeah, was in power for that
specifically.
Long.
That's crazy.
Exactly. And now to get to the geopolitics situation. So Assad was actually supported by the Russian and Iranian government, while the rebels were said to be supported by the U.S. government. Which is why you hear those reactions to what that lady, what that TikToker was saying, what the Syrian was saying. So you can see why people might have been reacting that way to what she was saying, right?
Yeah.
I still don't agree with how those people reacted, right? Because how I try and relate it is like you're speaking out for the liberation of the Palestinian people. You should be in equal support of the liberation of the Syrian people, right?
I think maybe they have a fear that if the U.S. government is supporting the rebels,
exactly,
then it'll go the other way.
Yeah, because you should always
be wary of them.
Be wary of who the American government is supporting, right?
For sure, and I get that. But I also think that the U.S. government probably couldn't get through to the Assad government. And so why not support the rebels to overthrow him? Like, I can understand that.
It was a very, like, enemy of my enemy situation.
The enemy of my enemy?
Yeah.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah,
like that
situation. I just hope that the rebels themselves, whoever the leaders of those rebels are, you know, at least they're good-hearted and understand the situation, like saying, okay, they might be supporting us now, but when we get in, like, there's going to be a vacuum and we need to make sure to fill it with our own people or the people who are not going to be puppeted by the U.S. government, essentially, right? Because if that happens, then you have a situation like what we heard is already happening, where I think Israel started occupying the buffer zone right next to Haria, with the Golan Heights area. I mean, not Haria, Israel. I mean, Syria. My bad. I'm saying Lebanese. But Israel started occupying the Golan Heights, which is basically like a buffer zone between Syria and Israel, right?
Got it.
And they said they did this because like some like strategic military move to stop them, to protect themselves from any like hostile assailants who might try and take over the region. It's like, you mean the people that your own friends, the U.S. government was supporting right now? Like, why? Where is this coming from?
Right.
You can see, like, they're already making a play, right?
Yeah.
Like we said in a few episodes before, this whole idea of greater Israel, blah, 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 all that. That's even a bigger plot. But, this power vacuum right now makes it a very tumultuous time for the people of Syria, right? And I don't know, like, literally, this is something that needs to be resolved within months because of what's happening also in Palestine.
Yeah.
Because all of this is connected in some way.
Of course it's connected.
Everything is connected, right? So it's going to be a very interesting time. And it's like, we need to keep a real eye on that region as well, too. You have to keep an eye on so many regions now.
I know. Like, are you worried about Palestine? Are you worried about Lebanon? Are you worried about Syria now? Are you worried about Sudan? Like, and obviously Sudan's not related to this from the Israeli standpoint, but still, of course, going through their own issues.
Yeah, because you see that geopolitics-wise, everything kind of comes down to, like, four countries. You have the U.S., you have Iran, you have Russia, and you have, five. U.S., Iran, Russia, Saudi, and, United Emirates and Saudi, and China. That's pretty much it.
That's crazy.
And then everything else is
they fall
any
under
conflict
those.
Or any wars, anything you see that's going on in the world never really involves them directly.
Yeah.
But it's usually they're going through some proxy governments, right?
Yeah.
So it's crazy how I think there's a question I had for later. Do you think your view on the world and geopolitics has changed in the past few years? Like, really?
Yeah.
So you feel like you're a lot more aware. Like, did you know, let's say pre podcast.
Pre-podcast?
Yeah.
I knew nothing.
You knew nothing, right?
I still don't claim that I know anything, but I was a lot more ignorant back then than I am now.
Yeah.
Because now, like, I'm no longer just consuming content just to consume it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I'm taking mental notes or actual notes because I'm like, oh, this would be a really good topic to talk about in the podcast. And sometimes I'll send you things that you never respond to, but it's fine.
Not recently, it's okay.
I mean, it's like not me catching strays.
I did not see anything recently, okay? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, recently I didn't send you anything. But I'm saying, like, you know, I've definitely learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And my viewpoint has changed because the more you know,
yeah,
the more you realize, like, I don't want to say this world ain't shit, but a lot of leaders are corrupt. Like, almost every single, no matter how many ways that a leader of a country can try and spin like some good policies that they may have, a lot of them are corrupt. And it's always about money and power.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah.
No one's actually just a good leader for the sake of being a good leader.
It's very hard to find that. And whenever there is a situation where you have a leader who even has a hint of showing some type of like love for his people or some type of
just overall humility and morality.
Humility and morality.
Yeah,
they are snuffed out as quickly as possible by one of those powers, or is snuffed out, and then another person is kind of put in their place who will speak or who will do whatever those other countries want them to do.
Yeah,
and it's a sad situation, you know. It's like essentially. But it's like a cold. No, I want to say a cold war.
It is.
It's essentially like a cold war of what world used to happen. What it's like cold colonialism. Does that make sense? Where essentially what used to happen in the past, it used to be more direct. Where if a country wanted to take over,
they would
a land or take over a people, they would just directly send people there. They would go to war with them, take over it, and colonize the area, or at least control it with their own military force. But they realize over time, okay, that doesn't look as good. Maybe we got to find like maybe a more efficient way of doing this.
Mm.
So like, why not just take control of the leaders?
Mm.
So they're still doing the same things they used to do hundreds of years ago, but they're doing it in a less direct way. So it seems it's harder to distinguish, or it's harder to point out or call out.
Yeah, and I also think citizens of each country have become more bold and less afraid to speak out if they don't agree.
Yeah.
Some, not all. Depends on what country you're from.
And that's why having control of the leaders is so important to them, because they can use those leaders to send in their military forces and police and whatever, and to quiet down or shut down these people as quietly as possible.
The world is corrupt. as the once upon a time famous group, they might still be famous.
Mm-hmm.
Black Eyed Peas once said, "Where is the love?" People killing, people dying, children are hurting and crying.
Mm-hmm.
Do we practice what we preach?
Oh my God!
What's the rest of the song?
The next line is more like Christian related.
Oh yeah, you're right. Okay, we'll skip. That's why.
I don't know if we can say that line.
Yeah, that was the part that we always had to skip.
Yeah, we as kids to just screaming that loud. As a lion used to say, it used to go, "Father, Father, please come help us."
Oh yeah, but anyways, I feel like that was a political song. Weren't they trying to? Wasn't that about politics?
It was a very like, "Where's the humanity? Where's the unity?" That kind of idea. It can be used on all scales, right?
Still applies.
It can be more of a local scale to more of a geopolitical scale. Anything, right?
Yeah,
it's a very general song. But you can see why it was so popular, because it connected with so many people. And those same sentiments have not changed from then until now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just people, I guess, are less. A funny thing is the saying that, like, you feel like you've been more, you feel more connected to the world. You feel like you're more aware of what's going on geopolitically. Like, I feel like people in the early 2000s or like around the 90s were maybe a little bit more aware of what was going on. I don't know why. I feel like the news. There was like the time where people were a little bit more aware of these things. And then over time, because of the internet and because of misinformation, it's actually kind of, it plateaued and then now it's going down again.
Like it got diluted?
Yeah, there was like a certain level of awareness that people had back in the day.
Yeah.
Where sure, we were getting news from just a few sources, mm-hmm. but actually, no, because then they also were lying about the situation, which is basically what happened with 9/11 and all that. So
but the newspaper was really
depending on how you
time.
Look at it perspective wise, like you can say that they were more aware, but really they were more aware, but had misinformation.
Yeah, people were just consuming news more back then.
Yeah, we never. I don't know if we ever found that sweet spot where people are more aware but had the correct information, because.
You know what?
Misinformation is so prevalent now, but back in the day, technically, it was also misinformation, or at least it was the news was skewed.
Yeah, because they're controlling what people are consuming.
Yeah.
Whether it's through newspaper or through TV, radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a tricky situation, but yes. Yeah, I feel like at least one thing that I hope this whole situation in the Levant, essentially, because it's the whole Levant at this point, has made more people aware of just what's going on geopolitical wise and where the actual power lies and who is actually running things and who is calling the shots, because it's usually not those countries specifically, it's whoever is puppeting that leader. And yeah, this the situation in Syria, I just pray for the people in Syria right now,
yeah,
who now that there's a power vacuum and the rebels technically have the ability to form their own government, that they are aware enough and their leaders are more are honorable enough to allow the people to make the choices and not these world leaders, right? Because I feel like this eventually, if that's not done,
just timing you.
Oh, okay. If that's not done, then sorry. Oh, and I feel like eventually, like if what was I gonna say?
Sorry.
No, shit, I forgot. Oh, and if that's not done, then I see the U.S. government coming immediately, putting in some another leader who doesn't have the people's interests at heart. And we have a situation where now all the countries that surround Israel are in the pockets of the people who support Israel. So, you know, let's pray for the people of Syria. I need to talk to my cousin, actually. I'm going to ask his question or his opinion on this whole situation.
Should we phone a friend?
Huh?
Should we phone a friend?
Should we phone him right now?
I don't know if he'll be comfortable.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We'll ask him, like, and then maybe we'll come back with more context next week.
Yeah, we'll, like, dub his voice.
Yeah. But, yeah, so my last or my other topic that's also geopolitics related, sort of. Mm-hmm. Not really. It is more within the country itself.
Okay. Canada?
No, not Canada. Actually, sorry. Actually, one thing to give you an idea, speaking of, like, being more aware of what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
There was a situation that happened in the mall the other day that gave me an idea of how some people are still, like, super unaware of what's even going on in their own city or their own country.
You mean Markville Mall?
What?
The looting?
No. Oh, I was actually going to speak about that as well. Mm-hmm. But this is more of a personal story. We went to the mall the other day. And this is just, like, we went to, you know, just see how the mall is, get a couple things. And we walked into the store to find some puzzles or games. And one of the workers there, we were asking him some questions, and we heard about, like we spoke about last week, about the tax break coming, right? Mm. So we're like, oh, it's not, you know, that's not starting till like December 14th, so should we buy this now? So we asked him, we're like, hey, do you think this would be connected to the whole like tax break thing we're getting? And he's like, what tax break? What are you talking about?
He didn't know about that?
Yeah. Literally, I started telling him like how we're not going to have to pay like GST or PST, how the federal and the provincial government are going to do this, whatever, and how we're also going to get $250. I blew this guy's mind.
What, is he living under a rock?
I felt like I made this guy's life. For real. He's like, I don't pay attention to news. I'm like, you don't know about something. You work in a store where this is going to directly affect you.
Yeah.
He's like, I had no idea this was going on. This guy couldn't have been, to granted, he couldn't have been like maybe more than 17 or 18.
Oh, he's a kid.
Yeah, he looked like a kid. But he was still working in a store where it was almost like a toy store. That's why we were asking questions. Because we were like, is a game store? It was Mind Games. Is it considered toys? Because it does have toys. So are they considered part of this? Like, would we still get a tax break? But yeah, he never even had an idea of this being a thing.
I'm sure when you left the store, he went on his walkie to tell all the coworkers, like, did you guys hear about this tax break?
Well, it's a smaller store. He probably could have just told straight up. But actually, funny about thing about that is that, like, when I was telling him about this, he's like, yo, don't even buy. I think he even said at one point, he's like, you don't even have to buy this right now. Just come back like next week, whatever. And we just walked out the store. But of course, I was like, yeah, you know, it's like $2. So let's go back and get it. But when I got back, he's like still smiling. He's like, oh, yo, I don't even know what's going to, like, I'm going to be spend all my money. I'm going to have no money after these 2 months.
I miss being in that age where, like, an extra $250, you're exactly. Like, wow, what can I
so
do?
He was so elated. He was so elated.
Didn't that make you feel good that you shared?
Oh, yeah, I felt
news.
Amazing after that.
That's kind of cute.
Every time, I was, like, slowly releasing information because every time I told something new, it's like it would blow his mind even more. But, yeah, that gives an idea of how, like, even though we might be a little bit more politically or aware of what's going on in the world, like, there's still a lot of people who are still living on a rock and don't know what's going on.
When you're younger, unless you actually just take an interest to global issues, mm-hmm. and even just local issues,
yeah,
you're not really going to, even if he's on social media, his mm-hmm. algorithm is probably set to whatever he likes, right?
Yeah, because it is so easy to just, you know,
live under a rock,
not follow any news pages. People don't watch TV that much anymore, mm-hmm. at all. That you can watch whatever you want yourself. So are you going to watch news, or are you going to watch your favorite TV show or movie, right?
Right.
Are you going to follow your friends, or are you going to follow these news pages?
Right.
So.
Right. Oh, and.
What?
Isn't news like outlets blocked on social media here?
Yeah, exactly. So people are even less informed here because it's literally blocked by the government.
Yeah.
Which is still a crazy thing that we accept.
I know.
Point. But yeah.
I know.
Whatever.
Actually, you know what?
What?
What I did want to mention before we end the episode mm-hmm. was, or maybe
we're not going to end the episode here.
No, we're not. But like, did we speak about how, we spoke about it. Never mind. Just kidding.
What were you going to say?
The 25% tariff and how Trump wants to make Canada like the potential 50%.
Did we talk about that? No, we didn't talk about that.
We talked about the tariff.
No, she listened to the episode. We didn't talk about that.
We spoke about the tariff though, right?
I
remember talking about it with you.
I can't remember. Did we talk about it here?
I didn't finish the episode.
Don't judge her.
My wife did not finish the episode. Okay, I'm playing. Yeah, I wouldn't let her play in front of me. That's why. Okay.
Yeah, I hate when people do that. All of our friends, when we come over. You know, like, don't you hate when people do that?
When they put it in front of you, in front of other people?
Yeah, and I'm like, why are you doing that? Mm-mm. I'm embarrassed.
I'm not about that life.
It's weird. I don't like it. It's so strange. Please don't do that. If you know us and we come over, like... Thanks for supporting, but not in front of us.
Yeah.
Do support us secretly.
But if we didn't mention it.
Maybe we didn't. But I remember talking about it with you. I think we spoke about the tariff thing. Mm-hmm. And then Trump and Trudeau had a meeting.
Yeah. Okay, maybe we didn't talk about the meeting.
Yeah,
essentially, like, after Trump said we're going to put tariffs on everybody. Mm-hmm. And this would, you know. It would be on Mexico and Canada, including Canada and Mexico.
Yeah.
Trudeau immediately took a flight down to Mar-a-Lago, which is where Trump likes to hang out when he is and isn't the president. So he went, had a meeting with him, and some of the things that came out, or one of the main things that came out, is that Trudeau was like, yo, if you impose these tariffs, it's going to cripple the Canadian economy.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, if it's going to cripple that much, you know, you might as well start thinking about becoming the 51st state.
Might actually end up being American after all.
No, but at the same time, I also heard that New York was thinking of like receding. Is it receding? Let's say it's a receding from America and like joining Canada.
What?
I was like, yo, if New York wants to join us, why not?
Welcome,
man?
New York.
Exactly.
We will welcome you with open arms.
But low-key, I'm like, I kind of don't want that because you know that the moment New York becomes part of Canada, those flight prices are going to go up like crazy. Because just to fly from here to like Windsor, it'll be like $600.
What?
It's ridiculous, the prices in Canada.
Windsor's in Ontario.
I know. I actually don't know that. But I'm just saying. You know, I'm being facetious, okay?
But there's
that whole thing about flying within Canada is more expensive than flying from here to like Europe. But then again, Canada is a big country, blah, blah. You know. It's ridiculous how it can be so expensive in your own country when you look at people in America where they're spending like $50 to go from Miami to New York, or from like New York, they're spending like $100 to go from New York to LA. Sure, there's hundreds of flights going between them, but I feel like, you know, give us a break. We it's our own country.
Facts. I'm actually looking this up.
Are you actually looking up the price of a flight?
Yeah. Oh, whoa, that's expensive.
See, it's $226. No. 300.
326 or four something.
$326 That's for crazy. A flight to Windsor, which is literally a 3-hour drive from here. Yeah. And it's like, and that's if you don't want any carry-ons, no nothing, no extra things. It's like $400 and something if you want at least one carry-on, which yeah, sure, literally. You might not want that.
And that's crazy. No carry-on bags.
Yeah. But check from here to New York.
Okay.
I bet you it'll be either the same price or cheaper.
Let me see.
Please be the same price or cheaper, because this will make my point very
JFK, LaGuardia, or yeah. Newark?
Anyone.
Let's see. If this proves you wrong, though, mm-hmm. how embarrassed are you going to be?
I'm already heated.
You're going to cut this part out. Dang, sold out.
Sold out? What? How much is it normally?
Hold on. Well,
I've literally never seen a sold out flight.
Me neither. Is there only one
at
flight?
At least it wouldn't show the flight if it's sold out.
Yeah,
which is
like
weird.
Just hold on. I'll adjust the dates. If it friggin' lets me.
See, iPhones, man. They're Porter, so slow.
No. The
I
Porter,
bet you I can find a flight right now.
The Porter thing. I'm just going to do a 3-day flight instead. Let's see. It's the website.
I'm going to find a flight myself.
Porter, if you're listening, you need to get. Wow, like there's no flights.
How?
I don't know. Maybe it's not JFK. Should I do New
York? Yeah, try. They don't go to JFK, maybe.
Then why would they have... Okay, should I just do the New Jersey one?
Yeah, New Jersey.
Okay.
You know, it's still... Like, I took my flight from New Jersey last time, so...
And you took a bus in or train?
Yeah, I took an Uber.
From New Jersey?
Oh, no, from New Jersey. I took a train the first day.
Yeah.
But then the other day, it was too early. I was like, I don't want to... it was too tired.
It's actually a lot cheaper.
See? How much is it?
Oh, no, hold on. Okay, wait.
Please.
No.
Please.
Actually, okay, one of the flights is actually $272.
See?
But the other one is...
You don't need to hurt about the other ones. Okay? It's $200, okay?
It's closer to $300.
$272.
Yeah.
Still, that's... Okay, $272. It was $326 or whatever on the other one. That's $50 cheaper. Still. To go from here to New York, a place that people actually want to go to. Sorry for the people in Windsor. But a place that people actually want to go to, okay?
You guys
want
to go to New York? Let's go to New York.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
The thing that sucks this year is that the holidays are literally in the middle of the week.
I know.
It's so annoying.
I know.
You don't get Monday. You don't get Monday off. You don't get Friday off. You literally have to be there. I think it's like Tuesday. I can't even remember if it's Tuesday and Wednesday or Wednesday and Thursday.
You have to be in Monday, Friday.
Oh, no. It's a half day. For us, it's like a half day on Tuesday, full day off Wednesday and Thursday, and then we have to come back Friday.
That's so annoying.
I know.
Ew.
We were hoping to like be able to travel and like do some type of like
but also,
local trip, maybe Montreal, blah, 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 whatever.
Like the worst time to fly during Christmas break. Yeah. Have you not seen Home Alone?
We used to fly all the time.
When?
Actually, no, we drove.
We drove.
Yeah, we did drive.
Yeah, I was saying, we never.
We were a driving family at this time of year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I forget what we were talking about originally. We were talking about people not being aware, that kid.
If New York becomes part of Canada, oh, then yes. It's going to. Boost up the
exactly so that sales. That whatever 200 whatever multiply that by two or three.
That's crazy.
No, because they once they get that, because America will retaliate, blah, blah, blah. There's gonna be a lot of issues, but still, if there was no retaliation, I still feel like the prices would go up. But that's a whole dream. That's not gonna actually happen. So the last thing you want to talk about was something that actually happened that was kind of odd, and it kind of feels like a fever dream because of how quickly it happened. It was the coup that happened, or the potential coup, or the attempted coup in South Korea. Did you hear about this?
No.
See, it happened so quick, she didn't even hear about it.
I don't hear about much, though.
So, apparently, the president, I think it was like called president or prime minister of Korea, of South Korea,
yeah.
He imposed, in the middle of the night, he imposed martial law on the country. Where essentially, like, people can be arrested for whatever. Their parliament is shut down.
No way.
He essentially seized control of the whole government.
Oh, my God.
But, like, the people in South Korea immediately turned on him.
Did they?
Of course, because they're like, what are you doing, right?
Yeah.
So, in the middle of the night, like, the South Korean people hit the streets. They went to parliament. They tried to, like, break in. I think they're even trying to help the other parliamentary workers or the other people in parliament to get in so they can like basically reverse what he did, because I believe they could go in there since he stopped parliament, but they could still break in or at least force their way in and implement a vote to stop the martial law, to essentially reverse what he did. And yeah, so for 6 hours there was like chaos in the streets, people were fighting, and finally they were able to make it into parliament and stop
this.
They
did a vote?
Yeah, they did a vote and they were able to reverse what he did with the martial law. And we were like, why did he even do this to begin
with?
The only reason he did it is because he felt like he was losing power in the government. Like, I believe he had like a minority at that point, and he felt like they were going to eventually try and like put impose a vote or like trigger a vote so they can get him out of there. So this is like his last ditch effort to just take over the government.
They're just gonna expedite that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why would you? You could have bought yourself a little bit more
like,
time.
He's like, there are people who are getting too friendly with the North Korean government, so we have to impose this and, you know, whittle out the traitors and the saboteurs.
Crazy. But that's what you call jumping the gun.
For real. And now he's paying the price for it.
Exactly.
But it's crazy how it happened. It happened so quickly. Mm-hmm. When I say 6 hours, it happened so quickly. There are people in South Korea who went to sleep and woke up and had no idea this even happened.
That's what you call efficient protesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they did that with swiftness. They said, we're not wasting any time.
For real, for real. But that's like an example, I guess, where the people actually, you know, made their voice known. And I think it also helps that the Korean army is the citizens, because they still have conscription. Is that what it's called? Hang on, help me out here. Conscription? Is that what they call it? Where essentially everybody, once they hit 18, has to take part in the military for a minimum of 2 years or 1.5 years, something like that.
Yeah.
So everyone has a connection to the military. So I feel like that also kind of helps, because if everyone is being cycled through the military, the military is less likely to kind of, I feel like the military is less likely to turn on its own people, because a majority of them that are there, at least the ones that are within the country and not based out in other places, are probably those people who are just spending their 2 years, 1.5 years in the army to kind of just check that box.
Right.
So if these people are just here, essentially forced to do this, what's the chances of them actually supporting some crazy coup that this government is trying to implement, or this guy specifically was trying to implement? Because no one else knew he was doing this. It was just him. So, yeah, that was an interesting situation that happened in South Korea. Thankfully, it didn't escalate into something more. The South Korean people have been very, you know, vocal in support of what's been going on in Levant. You know, so any type of unrest that is going on there that can be quelled as quickly as possible is, you know, a good sign to me. That's the last story that I had in my notes.
Yeah.
And we'd like to end off the episode by replying to a couple of your comments.
Let me pull them up. 1 second. Where's our drum roll? Oh, we don't have one. Drum roll, Amir.
Oh.
On the mic. Weak ass drum roll.
Wait. Oh, no, it doesn't work.
Really?
Oh, because maybe it's turned down. 1 second. How do I turn this up?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be really loud.
Yeah, I don't know if you should do that one.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Nope, no drum roll. It's whatever. I'm not even going to put that in. I'm just going to do this.
Fine. There's our drum roll. Okay. Losing My Sanity says, y'all didn't upload all of November and thought we'd forgive y'all so easily. Yelling emoji, question mark, question mark, question mark. Well, you'd be right. We forgive you guys. Heart. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Okay. We call the shots here. Oh. Oh, what happened? What was it? Did you get scared?
I thought this was falling over, but I realized the chairs.
We have
just
the chairs here,
I don't know. I don't know. Okay, here's one. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is so nice. I already know. We know the person who commented this. Mm-hmm. This person said, not going to lie, my November Thursday productivity at work has dwindled drastically since y'all, since I don't have y'all to keep me entertained as my brain is accustomed. Missed out on the dopamine boost, but it's good because y'all are good. Jokes aside, you guys have been much more consistent than many podcasts, social media endeavors that I've started following, especially compared to those that didn't last past the pandemic. 3 years is no joke. May Allah bless it for you always.
We gotta remember that. But we gotta remember that. Like, I think like the success rate of podcasts. Mm-hmm. Let me search that up exactly. What is the success rate of podcasts?
The success rate or the longevity?
What is the success rate of podcasts? Would it be?
I don't know.
There is a 50% chance that your podcast is going to pod fade. With more than 500,000 podcasts churned out yearly, wow, only 20% survives. The question of why podcasts fail deserves answers. So the more detailed one here, this whole AI is like, give me all the answers.
Oh, is that Gemini?
Yeah, that's like a new thing. So it says overall success rate within over 500,000 podcasts created each year, only 20% survive. The success rate of new podcasts is around 5 to 10%.
Wow.
Failure rate of reaching 100 episodes. The failure rate, oh my God, look at this. The failure rate for podcasts reaching 100 episodes, guess what?
What?
94%.
No way.
Look so at that. So part of the 6%.
That's exciting.
It says like the failure rate for releasing fewer than 3 episodes. The failure rate for podcasts releasing fewer than 3 episodes is higher than 99%.
Say that again?
What is it measuring success off of? Like, there's some factors that contribute to a podcast success. Oh, okay. So give me the factors for what includes. Episode length. The most common length for a podcast episode is between 20 and 40 minutes. So usually anything above that. Popularity score. A popularity score of around 40 to 50 may increase the chance of landing a spot in an official Spotify playlist. Consumption rate. A good goal is to maintain an average consumption rate of 75%. Unique listeners. Okay. So these are just like the stipulations kind of using to determine what success means, I guess. Okay. But yeah.
We actually have two comments in here. One from Concrete Slab 801 and Sumeya 3214. Mm-hmm. Both basically said that we were their top podcast for 2024 on Spotify. So thank you guys for listening.
Hopefully our hiatus didn't affect that number, but I guess you already got it, so it's too late.
And then Princess Morrow, last one, says, finally, thank you for remembering us and coming back. Feels like Eid or something.
we waited all the way until Eid?
That's crazy. Actually, no. I feel like they would protest.
5 months, yeah.
They would protest.
We would be coming back to Tumbleweeds. That would be our only few viewers would be Tumbleweeds.
We'd have 5 subscribers. It would be our parents and siblings.
Oh, my God.
Okay, on that note, honestly, I'll go in and actually personally respond to everybody too, because thank you guys, we love you so much and your support means the world. We wanted to also say our surprise announcement.
So on December 28th we have a live show coming. Hey, you actually got the right one.
I know, that was a fluke. 25%.
Woo! Yeah, we got our one listener who's cheering for us.
Oh.
You shouldn't hear that, but I was laughing.
I was laughing.
But
I
yeah.
Was trying to cheer. Whatever, it's fine.
So, yeah, we're going to be hosting a live recording of the podcast. I think it's going to be a recording of the podcast.
Kind of. It's kind more of. We're going to have like a more like interactive panel discussion. Yeah. We want to meet you guys.
Exactly.
A lot of you have asked us for an in-person live event, so this is going to be
finally giving you what you want. Okay.
Our first one, and we're so excited, but I'm so scared.
Yeah, same. You know, it's our first event, yeah. So there's still a lot of things that we don't know if we're doing it right or like how to do it, like how it's going to look, because podcast live events in general aren't something that you really see as often, and they can be done in so many different ways.
Yes, exactly.
That is no real like blueprint for it. So it's kind of like just flying by the seat of our pants right now. But what that's saying.
I know.
Yeah. So just to give you a little bit more details, like I mentioned, it's on December 28th at Half Note. And Half Note is in Scarborough. What is that? Kingston and Eglinton? Like around there?
Something like that. Near Guildwood?
Near Guildwood. Yeah. So search up Half Note is in Scarborough. We'll put all the information in the description, of course.
We're going to have our ticket sales up soon.
Yes, sorry, ticket sales are going to be up soon. The starting time of the event and everything will be added when it's available as well. And we'll also be coming out with like a flyer. So check out, like I mentioned, follow us on all our platforms, Cousin Connection Pod, to actually stay updated on something that's happening, you know, in a few weeks from now, inshallah. And subscribe to the channel. So hopefully if we do like end up adding maybe even doing some type of live thing. I'm not sure. We're gonna think about how we're gonna include YouTube on this. But yeah, you can keep updated on that here as well. And we still have a few more episodes. We're probably giving more information on who's gonna be there throughout the weeks. So just stay tuned. We're gonna be excited to see you guys there. Inshallah, some of you guys can make it out there. And the tickets are usually just to cause. Like ticket costs are just to cover like.
The vendors and the space
in itself.
We're probably not going to make any money off of it.
We're not trying to make money. This is more just to meet you guys like you wanted to. So any of you local listeners, make sure to check it out. Yeah. Probably going to have a lot of our own family and friends there anyways. So,
and some special guests.
Yeah, some special guests. Guests that have been on the podcast before. Maybe some that haven't been on yet and we've been trying to get on here. So make sure to check out description for more information when it gets there and follow us on our platforms. And until next week, we'll see y'all later. Bye.